Oh, yeah, and everybody's in.
Kind of like me.
Yeah.
All right, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna pull up the cool one.
To First Christian Church, Colorado Springs. We're glad that you've chosen this as a place to worship this morning. Whether you're joining us in person or through Facebook, we are blessed by your presence. For those of you worshiping with us in person, we ask you to sign the little burgundy folder on the center aisle, because we really like to have that information. If you're joining us by Facebook, we would ask that you write a comment in the comments line so we will know that you are with us. Now, if you're, as you're able, would you stand, would you listen while I do the call to worship? If you would stand, please. John the Baptist said, "Prepare the way." So how do we prepare our minds for worship?
With silence, sincere prayer, with a head of holy thoughts. We make space for God to speak.
How do we prepare our hearts for worship?
We bless all emotions. We feel what we feel. We open ourselves up to be moved.
How do we prepare our bodies for worship?
We take in the scent, sight, and feel of our space. We breathe in God's mercy. We exhale God's love.
How do we prepare our souls for worship?
We wear our hearts on our sleeves. We trust that even now, God is with us.
So what we practice in worship, we must live out in our daily lives.
So prepare the way. Let us worship Holy God.
Would you join us in our opening hymn, number 22, All Creatures of Our God and King. You now join me in prayer. God, in whom we find our existence, we recognize that you are always present with us. We are here today as followers of the way of Jesus to honor you, to recognize this caring community, and share the abundant life that was promised. We are grateful for those who in the past have left records of their understanding of you. We are grateful for those in the present that continue to lead us to a fuller understanding of your kingdom. We give thanks for the assurance that you are with us both in the good times and in the more difficult times. Amen. You may be seated. We have a few announcements this morning. First, we'd like to welcome Philip Hayes to the pulpit. And because the cold, flu, and COVID season is with us now, we would like to make sure that we don't share something we didn't anticipate with our fellow congregants. So when we have passing the peace, try not to hug somebody too long, if at all. Share your peace as respectfully as you can, but share it. That's an important part of our living together. You may expect that the distributors of communion will probably be wearing face masks today, so don't be alarmed. We're just trying to be careful. We will have conversations that matter for 30 minutes after the service today. If you'd like to participate, it'll be in the parlor. Come with thoughts and attitudes about our ministry that we can take forward with us as we proceed. Also on the table at the back, there are the stars that have been prepared for you to take home and look at and sort of focus your mind for the rest of the year. Just to be not a surprise, the one I got said, think, which is probably a good one for everybody. As you go in your prayer life, we like to remember people who need to be in your consideration this week. Glenn Tamlinson and Karen and his family, as well as Philip and Dorothy, are experiencing severe problem at this time. We ask that you keep them in your prayers. Jen Candeeb will be having cataract surgery this week, and so she will be challenged for a few days. Mario asks that we keep him in mind as he awaits test results. Katie is having her house rebuilt and considering probably having shoulder replacement surgery, so keep her in mind. Chuck Haley is recovering well. Sally Maxwell's daughter is on the way to recover. Remember Jimmy Osborne, who's having some challenges, and Chris Long and his family. Just before we started today, I was informed that Vaughn Pritchard's sister died yesterday, so remember her in your prayers also. Now, as tradition, pass the peace with those around you respectfully, in terms of distance. Sermon with Dale and Derek.
You can back her whenever you want. She's going to come with me. Come sit with me right now, okay, honey? Let's sit up with me. Yep, I heard you.
Yeah, I think so.
You know my friend Luke?
He was here before.
He's
All right, what are we doing? Children's moment? And what do we do in children's moment? Do we look for God in our life?
Yes.
That's a good idea. How do we go about doing that? Is it okay to be silly while you're looking for God? Is it okay to be serious while you're looking for God? Is it okay to be sad when you're looking for God?
Yes.
How about happy?
Yes.
Good.
That's the best kind.
Can you do it all alone? That's the best kind? Is that right?
You can do it, but that's the worst kind.
Alone or together? At home or away?
Anywhere, any time, any space.
Great, Luke. Anywhere, any place, any space. How about you, Oliver?
Last year, I was sad when I was shopping.
Well, I'm glad you survived that problem.
Then I saw him by the side, then I couldn't catch up.
Well, I'm glad you're back now. Shall we pray and then go off to children's church?
Yes.
No.
Let's pray.
Oh, come. Let's try it now. Creator God, thank you for this opportunity to look for you, to maybe find you in every way, any place, any space. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to say a few words about what you're all thinking about Karen's husband, Glenn. This all started when Karen was in the process of selling her house. He didn't feel well, so he went to Flagstaff to see his doctor, and they did a CAT scan and diagnosed a huge cyst, translated into inches, 4 inches by 6 inches by 6 inches. And all this time, we treated it as a cyst. On the 10th, he bled, of this month, he bled into the stool, toilet stool. And Karen said she called 911 on him, like maybe he had shot somebody. And they took him to the nearest hospital. There's no hospital where they live. The closest hospital was about 20, 25 miles away in Cottonwood. They decided that his problem was too big for them, so they sent him to Phoenix. There was not a bed in the hospital where he wanted to go. And he kept bleeding intermittently until early last week. And then he began bleeding and they couldn't stop it. So they did surgery through the groin. They found where the artery was that had been ruptured, and they stopped it, but not before they transfused 20 units of blood. Now that's more than the body holds, which means that it was going out as fast as they were putting it in. If he had gone to the hospital he wanted to go to, they could have not supplied that much blood. But the hospital he was in was where the blood bank was. If you see a picture of him, which Dorothy has, he doesn't look like a sick man. But he is a ticking time bomb. And that cyst was misdiagnosed. It's a cancerous tumor. And any time, it could rupture another artery. There is a little hope. They do have a medicine which they can inject that is supposed to reduce the tumor. God didn't make our bodies with that much storage space for a tumor that large. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we have recently celebrated your birth and are anticipating the coming season of remembering your sacrifice for us, we wonder what it was like to walk with you when you were here on earth. Would we have believed in you if we had seen you and heard your voice? We are so grateful for your word that tells us the stories of your life, death, and resurrection. We are challenged by your words and motivated by your call to love the least of these. Move us away from our selfishness and toward the selfless giving that encompassed all that you were about. Let us never become complacent in our salvation or weary of giving our lives fully to you. You have given all for us. Thank you so much. Now we ask that you comfort those who have been mentioned this morning as having special needs for our concern and prayers and your support. In addition, we lift up the millions of innocent people who are suffering as the result of the current wars. Please pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture the reading this morning is from Isaiah 40. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Thank you.
trumpet, Gabriel. Set me down,
let me down.
Any old way, just get it down. Hand me down my silver trumpet.
That's a little faster than this Ogie can talk. I read from first chapter of John, first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Oops, I left out a phrase. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." It appears that some names will determine how we stand out from the crowd of people. For example, the J factor. Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar married in the summer of 1984. They decided they didn't want children right away. They would wait until they could afford them. So they used the pill. About 4 years later, they decided they were ready. but Michelle had a miscarriage. Of course, they were grieved and disappointed, as any couple would be. After seeing their doctor, they were told to read the small print on the package. Miscarriage could be a side effect of the pill back then. So they asked God to bless them with as many children as God saw fit and in God's own timing. Joshua James was born. Then twins, Jana Marie and John David. Then number four, Jill Michelle. Then Jessa Loren. Then number six, Ginger Nicole. Joseph Garrett. Josiah Matthew. Then number nine, Jedediah Robert. Well, number nine was Joy Anna, and Jedediah Robert was 10. Jeremiah Robert was 11. Jason Michael, James Andrew, Justin Samuel. If you're counting, 15 was Jackson Levi, John Anna Faith, Jennifer Daniel, Jordan Grace, and 19, Josie Brooklyn. 10 boys and 9 girls between 1988 and 2009. Research suggests that people are influenced enough by their names that they will gravitate toward objects and actions that begin with their initials. So Kathy with a C might prefer Coke. Peter would prefer Pepsi. Tim would favor Toyota. Well, I'm P and I have a Toyota. Bradley enjoyed Beethoven. Sarah might become a soccer player, scoring as a striker or piling up saves as a goalie. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus Christ was a Jewish carpenter. The strikeout in baseball is signified by the letter K. Now, this is a strange phenomenon. Through nearly 100 years of Major League Baseball, players with the first or last letter name starting with K strike out 18.8% of the time, compared to 17.2% of the time for other players. All of us want A's and B's on our report cards, but students with C's and D initials tend to have lower grade point averages. Weird, isn't it? But as it doesn't always work out that way. Can you imagine a man named Robert Lane named his twin boys Winner and Loser? Loser's nickname is Lou. He became a detective sergeant on the New York police force. He had won a scholarship to college. Now, Winter is also related to the police. He has a rap sheet with 30 charges for trespassing, burglary, domestic violence, and resisting arrest. In the scriptures, we all know name meanings carry a lot of weight. Abraham means family of many. Daniel means God is my judge. Elijah means my God is Yahweh. And the list goes on. Today's text from John is the classic passage to explain our theology. He is the Word of God. Of course, that's Jesus Christ, who took human flesh. God who took human flesh. The name Jesus itself, from a Greek translation of Aramaic, is Yeshua, and is a shortened form of the Hebrew Yahweh. Therefore, the name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. Here's the J factor again. Jesus literally has the name of God in his own name. That name is the destiny that we came to fulfill, that he came to fulfill. First, in our own life, first in his own life, and thereafter in his followers. The mission of the text unfolds in three movements. How nice. I was taught in preaching class, you have to have 3 points. Well, in my 64 years of preaching, I sometimes varied. Movement number one. The message itself. When Jesus entered the world, he came to bring true life. He was God's means of demonstrating his heart for humanity, giving humans grace and truth. Not just grace, not just truth, but the fullness of both. Sadly, the Christian message has polarized these two gospels at times. When the pendulum swings toward grace, Christianity loses its distinctiveness from the broken world. It results in creating license and moral laxity in the place of obedience. It allows for hypocrisy that repels a watching world. If Christianity isn't a better way to live, then why should outsiders expect to care about it? If God forgives for whatever we do through grace. Yet, all truth Christianity is no more on point. Jesus called it out in the religious leaders of the day, who seemed to love the law more than people. We have all seen truth become a weapon in evangelism gone bad, where megaphones and signs and arguments replace love, respect, and healing words. So you can't separate grace and truth. Philip Yancey states, "No one ever converted to Christianity because they lost an argument." As a single woman, a mother, and an alcoholic, author Anne Lamott felt the judgmental sting that accompanied the ungracious standards of the Christianity she was presented with. She wrote, "You can tell you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people you hate." Truth without grace tends to feel hateful and not loving. Movement number two is the incarnation event. The law was God's grace given through Moses. It was a communication of how people were designed to live in relationship with a holy God. But much of the Old Testament feels like a plan that was not working. According to verse 18, to make God's heart fully and completely known, God chose to take on human flesh, to model life, a life of light, to dwell among us. If a father wants to teach his daughter how to do a somersault, he doesn't sit on the porch and tell his daughter how to crouch and lean and roll. He gets out on the grass and he shows her. That is a big piece of what God's coming to us in the form of Jesus Christ was about. God's means of modeling grace and truth to the world was to come and live it out before them. The name Jesus does not mean God teaches salvation or God offers salvation. It means God is salvation. He became salvation. Third movement, the missional mandate. Jesus has God in his name, and he brought salvation to a world in need. It is then appropriate for Christians to have Christ in their name. Look at the word Christian. The first two-thirds of it is Christ. And it is our mission to bring Christ to people. Let us follow the pattern of the text. God took on flesh as Jesus, thereby bringing grace and truth to the world. Then to all who believe him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God. If God's Son was the means of making the heart of God known to the world, wouldn't God also use his other children? God's becoming flesh is not just the theology of this passage from the Gospel of John. It is the mission as well. As Christians, we bear Christ Jesus in our name. The J factor is a part of who we are. That's why we want to be the very image of grace and truth as he was. Jesus people, Christians. The name suits us. No one has ever seen God, but they've seen us. Amen.
Thank you. God is the ruler of the earth, the maker of the universe, and our God cares about every individual here. He helped us in learning about who he is and what he wants by establishing through Jesus the communion that we are about to partake today. For I received the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread and, after blessing it, broke it. And said, "This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, eat this bread, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for your grace and love, and the love we receive at this table and community. Bless this bread and wine so that we can do Jesus' work of loving, caring, and sharing the good news of God's grace. Jesus shows us how to live and care for the world, ourselves, and others. Bless this bread and wine as we go forward, and all are welcome to partake. This is Jesus' table. Amen.
Thank you.
Our common ritual meal is finished. Now it's time for the offering. Offering time is a significant part of the worship service. It is more than just the receiving of money to support the operational and outreach budgets of our congregation here at Platt and Cascade. It provides the resources that allow us to continue to reflect to each other and the community around us the love that God, through Jesus, has shown us. It allows us to show our devotion to God and the kingdom of God by affirming that our lives are lived to glorify God. As we give time and our offering to God through the church, we are giving part of our life and work. Let us, with thanksgiving, give testimony to our love of God through our offering today.
I need to do a quick correction in the bulletin. Sorry, we can start the offering. It's part of the mission. We are not doing IHN in February with Grace. It's in March. So I noticed that in the bulletin. But that's part of our mission, so I wanted to correct that with the offering. Thank you.
God, here we receive the gifts from your congregation today, dedicated to furthering your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Let's now sing our closing hymn, number 595.
Thank you.
to say, after preaching for 64 years, it was good that I got to do it again. Let us pray. With you beside us, we can face any foe. With you behind us, we do not need to fear. With you before us, we will never be lost. We go now knowing you are beside us, behind us, and before us. Thank you for never leaving us, forsaking us. Amen.